PC needed more management attention. One or the other of us has to be in charge. He offered to move to New York for 6 months and spend full time on the network. No, Eisner responded sharply, we'll both do it. The situation brought to the surface a basic difference in philosophy between Ovitz and Eisner. As Ovitz later testified, it was a very complex situation. Mr. Eisner is very, very good at television development. It's also very hard to come into television development and just look at pilots without having been involved in the creative process. And Michael and I were coming in to watch pilots and make decisions on scheduling. It actually was Michael. I was just there. And it's very tough for the people who have spent the whole year in development and then not have the boss, which would have been me, but the big boss, which was Michael, come in and view their work and then start to help them schedule when they have been doing it without him the prior year and the prior 20 years. Ovitz tried to warn Eisner about growing discontent at ABC. You've got to stop criticizing them. Ovitz said, it's irritating. Stop living in the past. This isn't 20 years ago. Although Ovitz had always felt that one of his strengths as Eisner's friend had been his ability to disagree with him, anything he now said seemed to irritate Eisner. Eisner told him, my obligation is to make ABC work, and if some feathers have to be ruffled in the course of business, then that would be part of the process. Ovitz explained, I felt that that could still be accomplished without ruffling the feathers and trying to keep the individuals that worked for us working with a smile rather than with a frown. It's just as easy to handle them with kid gloves and get a better result than to handle them in a very harsh way. Although Ovitz felt he had little or no authority at the network, Eisner was quick to blame him for the failures. That spring, Eisner bumped into Sid Bass on Fifth Avenue in New York. Bass had heard about mounting discontent with Ovitz, about restlessness at ABC, and urged Eisner to talk to Bob Iger. He'd even heard that Iger might quit. Eisner went to Iger's office at ABC headquarters on West 67th Street. He walked in and abruptly closed the door. I know you're unhappy, he said. I want you to know that Michael Ovitz is not working out as president. At some point, and I can't tell you when, I'm going to take care of this. You can't tell anyone, but I'm afraid I'm going to lose you and Joe Roth if I don't do something. Iger had been careful never to complain to Eisner directly about Ovitz. He did, after all, report to him. But now that Ovitz was a lame duck, Iger unburdened himself. He told Eisner the story of the aborted ESPN meeting and other incidents that had agitated ABC executives. Iger confirmed that Ovitz wasn't someone he felt he could work for, and Eisner encouraged him to call him directly, bypassing Ovitz, if he had any problems. Eisner reported his conversation with Iger to Sid Bass via email. I cannot tell you how good your advice was on talking directly to Bob Iger. I told him I was very happy dealing with him directly, if I could totally trust him. If he told me the good news and especially the bad, and if he let me give directly to him my ideas on projects, on schedule, on other creative things. I explained I just did not want to be finessed or ignored. So far, Michael Ovitz has been no help. He still looks at the studios the same way he looked at them as an agent. Big pockets.